Great. So anyway, thank you all for coming on this first day of APHA and an early morning session too. I'm going to be presenting to you on some work that we have been doing over the past couple of months, still work in progress a little bit, looking at female veterans who have returned from Iraq and Afghanistan and learning more about some of their stress-related coping mechanisms and some of their actually wartime experiences as well. You can see my fellow co-authors here were from Yale University and BA Connecticut Healthcare System, as well as University of Connecticut. Apparently, I need to make this disclosure that I have no financial relationships to disclose. So the background of this work, I'm not sure how familiar you all are with some of these issues around military service and veterans, but so we're right now in something called the U.S. Global War on Terrorism. Abbreviated GWAT. And those GWAT operations include Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom. We commonly call those OEF, OIF. And when you look at those two together, there have been over 1.6 million American troops that have served in OEF and or OIF. Of those 1.6 million troops, about a little over 800,000 of them have left active duty and become eligible for VA healthcare services. That doesn't mean that they are VA healthcare users. It means that they are eligible through either service-connected disability or income. When you think about the global war on terrorism, one of the interesting things that's sort of happened is that given our needs overseas, many, many more women are serving in the military. So there's the military demographics are changing. Right now there's about 15% of active duty are women, 17% of guard reserves, and 20% of new recruits. Altogether there's more than 1.7 million women veterans. And the women veterans are among the fastest growing groups who use VA health care. And again, I'm not sure how familiar you all are with VA healthcare, but it's traditionally been a very male-oriented institution with services geared towards men. And so thinking about including women in the VA services is an important initiative for the VA. Now again, if you think about women's experiences with war and combat, you know, I think that we all have a tendency to think, well, you know, women aren't really out there on the front lines, and so, you know, what kind of exposures can they be getting? And although women are prohibited from directly being on the front lines of battle, they serve in a variety of support positions that put them at risk of a variety of different combat-related exposures. And I just thought this was an interesting thing to point out for us. Among the 4,100 U.S. casualties in Iraq, 109 of those just in Iraq have been women. And there's actually an interesting website I can direct you all to if you're interested, see me afterwards, that lists person by person people that have been killed in Iraq, as well as their where they're from and the reason why they were killed. And it's basically categorized as hostile, being killed as a result of a hostile activity versus a non-hostile death. And 61% of those deaths among women were termed hostile, either from an IED, mortar attack, small arms fire. The remaining deaths were from injury or illness, and a good number of suicides as well among those women in active duty. So it's women are being exposed to war. So some people have started to think about how women's experiences in war might be different than men's. A group of researchers in Boston have done some good work in this area, and they looked at some Gulf War women to sort of try to categorize what are women's stressors in combat military. And they broke it down into two major areas, mission-related stressors and interpersonal stressors. And so I use this sort of as a framework as I move forward with the focus groups to really think about if women's combat-related stressors and experiences in Iraq sort of dovetailed with what they had found. And I'll come back to this in a bit. And again, when you read the popular press, it's really interesting to think about what is written out there about veterans who returned from Iraq and Afghanistan. You read a lot about men returning and about how, boy, they're drinking a lot of alcohol, they're using a lot of drugs, there's a lot of violence, interpersonal violence, domestic violence. There was actually a story just in the New York Times the other day, I don't know if anybody read this, about men coming back and getting really fast motorcycles and driving really fast and basically killing themselves. And I think there were some something like 100 deaths in the past, or 50 deaths in the past year just from that. But we know very little about how women come back and adapt to stress and handle. We don't know if they use alcohol or substances, or if they do different types of activities that women do in terms of handling stress. And so that's really what we were exploring when we went forward with this. So in terms of my research questions, I was interested in women's experiences with war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I wanted to learn more about the types of reentry stress that women returning from war experience. And how do women who return from war cope with those experiences related to war or interpersonal stresses? And finally, are women comfortable utilizing health and mental health services in the VA? My objectives are to explore women's veterans' experience with societal reentry after deployment and to explore and understand stress-related coping mechanisms. To do this study, it's under the broad heading of a study we recently had funded called the Women Veterans Cohort Study. This cohort study has two phases. The first phase is building a virtual cohort of OEF-OIF veterans who are enrolled in care in the VA. I'll explain this a little bit more in a second. And phase two, which is where the focus groups fall under, is creating an observational cohort of veterans in Connecticut and Indiana. Phase one, the virtual cohort, we received something called the OEF-OIF roster from the DOD. On that roster, there's a little over 400,000 veterans who have returned from Iraq and Afghanistan. Again, the conditions of being on this roster are below. Those with military discharges from these dates, those were physically located in the combat zones. And to be on this roster, veterans must have enrolled or used VA services. So again, if I could remind you a couple of slides ago, the overall number of veterans that have come back and would be eligible for VA services is about 800,000. On this roster, there's 400,000. So clearly, all veterans have not used VA services that could use VA services. We took the roster given to us by the DOD and we merged it with VA electronic medical records to get sort of an overall composite of these veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. From that roster as well, we were able to have addresses and names of people who did serve. And so as part of our observational cohort in Connecticut and Indiana, we are recruiting 550 veterans in Connecticut and 500 veterans in Indiana to be part of a three-year survey portion of this, so we can actually track how veterans are doing over a three-year time. And there's a variety of components in that survey. And again, I can talk with you all offline about that if you're interested in that. But from that observational cohort, from that recruitment, is how we are getting our focus group participants. So basically, every time a woman enrolls in this study, we're asking her if she would be willing to participate in a focus group. And so far, these focus groups are limited to Connecticut women only. So when we have built our focus group so far we've actually had two focus groups. The intention is to have probably five focus groups altogether. The age range of women who have been willing to participate in these focus groups so far is 23 to 55. The majority of them are white. You can see the education and in terms of branch and service, about 50% Army and 50% Air Force. I have to say that so far in our study, we have enrolled, I think, about 40 participants altogether, and again, we're shooting towards 500, and nearly all of the women who have enrolled in our larger study were also interested in participating in our focus group, so there was a real need to come and share their experiences. So in terms of major findings from these focus groups, again, I'm going to go back to sort of characterizing women's combat mission-related stressors and interpersonal stressors. And I'll get into more specifics about women's experiences with combat, coping with the aftermath of battle and the stigma of war, as well as reintegrating with family, friends, and employment, personal finances stressors. I'll talk a little bit about some of the stress-related coping mechanisms these women are employing, as well as their efforts to seek help in the VA. So a disclaimer before I move forward is some of these slides are going to be very difficult to, there's a lot of hard stuff that came out here, so I would just sort of warn you before I go forward. In terms of mission-related stressors, we found that women who had been in war in Iraq or Afghanistan had very significant combat exposures. One of the women I talked to said, I had the unfortunate experience of having to kill a child, an Iraqi child. Our convoy had broken down, and this kid came running for us. He wouldn't stop, and he was wired, and it was me and my battle buddy or the kid, and they were using kids as bait, so it was the kid that had to go. And this woman was very, very broken down about some of the experiences she had had. Many of the women in our group claimed coming back they had a lot of problems with hypervigilance and just being over aware of everything in their society and in their surroundings. One woman said, I went to the race last weekend in Dover, and here I am sitting in this big racetrack with thousands of people, and I'm thinking to myself, this would be a perfect thing to blow up. You know, and my husband's sitting here going, what's wrong with you? And I said, you know, this would be a good terrorist target. And he says, will you just shut up? So again, what this sort of demonstrates is, as I'm kind of moving forward, is, you know, people coming back and having a hard time coping, and really people's family members not understanding what they're going through. A little bit more aftermath of battle, many of the women had problems driving down I-91 and I-95 in Connecticut. One woman says, but you know, carcasses, the dead deer on the side of the road still irks me, still freaks me out, and I'm like, I'm coming into that lane, buddy, because I'm not even going to drive by this thing, because God knows if it's going to blow up. And this is just a woman who is driving down the street, who's driving down a highway in Connecticut with her mother, and nearly got into a car accident because she swerved all the way across a major highway in Connecticut to get away from a dead deer on the side of the road because she was still thinking it might be an IED. And again, another woman said, I still look for stupid IEDs. I was the lead vehicle, so that was my job. I was walking to class the other day and not really paying attention, just kind of like focused on getting to class, and a bicyclist came cruising by way too close to me. I freaked out. I was like, oh my God. So again, some of the younger women, this particular woman had a good amount of very close to frontline military experience, and she was having a hard time even being able to walk to class on a daily basis because people coming up too close to her, bicyclists coming up too close to her really rattled her. One of the other things that the women said uniformly is that they had a hard time because they came back and they found that people didn't accept them into society as they used to. This woman was saying, when the war was popular and you're out on the street in your uniform here in the U.S., you know, everybody loves you, wants to shake your hand, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now it's almost back to looking at you like you've got some kind of disease. So they were having a hard time adjusting. In terms of interpersonal stressors the women were feeling, I would characterize these into stressors related to family, friends, and employment. This woman says, I mean, my parents tell me they love me, but when I get into my depressed moods or I have my anxiety attacks or my stress attacks, they don't know what to do. I don't hear from them for days unless I call. You know, my father was in Vietnam. You'd think he'd at least understand, but he doesn't. In addition, within 3 weeks of return from Iraq, I literally cursed out my mother and went ballistic on her, almost physically, almost hit her, and I'd never done that to my mother. My mother's looking at me cross-eyed like, what in the heck got into this girl? And I was just super duper off the top for one little thing that she said. And this woman actually, as a result of this incident, did make contact with the VA and got enrolled in some of the VA healthcare services. But it's interesting because of the 12 women that we've spoken to so far, I would say only about two or three are regular VA users and have made contact with the VA. This is one of the younger women saying, my friends really didn't understand. I don't talk to a lot of them anymore, only for the fact that I think that I went away in their minds. It was almost like, well, she's not talking to me anymore, so I'm not going to talk to her. So we lost communication for a while I was over there, and I took it as, well, if you don't want to talk to me while I'm getting shot at and in the combat zone, I don't want to be your friend. And again, this is one of the very young women who was having a hard time reintegrating back into college because her friends were mad at her because she didn't call them when she was in Iraq and Afghanistan, which was hard for her. More interpersonal stressors in terms of relationships with spouses. Before, I wouldn't have been devastated if me and him weren't close. Now we aren't talking and I isolate myself in the bedroom. I read my books and I could care less. I thought this was particularly poignant. Talking about treating people that have been blown up and all that is not that relatable of an experience to most people you meet in Connecticut. And so again, people just feeling like there's nobody they can talk to in society when they get back between their family and their friends. Nobody would understand what it's like to treat somebody who's been blown up. This is a woman who particularly isolated herself in her house and basically doesn't come out anymore. A lot of people are having trouble keeping jobs. After Iraq, I kept on quitting my jobs, and you know, I had violent attacks of anger, and you know, I'm just screw you and the horse you came in on, I'm quitting. You quit in a second, and you're like, okay, now what do I do to pay my bills? So moving on, now I just, you know, now that you have a sense of some of the hardships that these women are facing, I wanted to give you a sense of some of the things that women are doing to kind of cope with those stresses. By and large, their stress-related coping mechanisms that we discussed weren't particularly positive, although I think that they're working on making some positive changes in their lives. Again, whereas men really seem to, from what we read about men in the popular press and literature, whereas men may seem to focus on substance abuse and violence and things like that in terms of readjusting to stress, women in our classical tradition rely on overeating, a good amount of binge eating, a good amount of shopping, which is pretty interesting. This woman says, when the depression hits, I just go to the grocery store, and I go when there's no crowds. I go when it's supposed to open because I don't like crowds, but I buy whatever I want to and I sit on the couch and I eat chocolate. I buy enough to last me a whole week. This woman also has some issues with overeating and isolation. I put on about 20 pounds when I came back, but I think mostly it's because I would isolate myself. You know, I don't want to be around people. I don't want to hear the stupid stuff they're talking about. I would eat and then I would just isolate myself. Another woman says, I don't even listen to the radio or music anymore because too many songs, if they come on, might make me cry. So I just eat. I try to eat good. I eat yogurt and stuff like that, but I think it's my lack of wanting to be around a lot of people. This particular woman deals with the stress of being back in society by shopping and gambling. She likes to go to the casino by herself. She can be there for 8 hours by herself, and she doesn't hear anyone. I'm anonymous. No one knows who I am. I'm just another person playing a slot machine. I can go shopping. I like to go shopping by myself, but I have absolutely no concept of the money I spend. I'm really into the instant gratification. And this particular woman noted how different this behavior was from the way that she had ever been before. She noted this is not somebody who she was ever before she came back from her service in Iraq. Some of the younger women actually, there was actually very interesting age differences here. The younger women in the group very much relied on over-exercise to cope with a lot of their stress mechanisms, whereas the older women in the group really didn't endorse this at all. One woman said, you know, they always taught us to exercise. So I'd like to exercise to the excess and really to excess to the point where I would be sick. Exercise was my addiction and I was constantly throwing up. I don't know what that was about, but I got super, super skinny. And again, isolation. I don't like crowds, so I don't go out anymore. I won't eat in restaurants either. Too many people. I was involved in, we were doing guard duty, and there was about 100 Iraqi civilians, and we were pulling guard duty, and one of them blew himself up, and it was a mess to have to clean up after. So this is one of the women who completely isolates herself and doesn't really go out anymore at all. She feels like isolation is her best way to cope with this. So finally, to just bring it around to the last point, what are these women doing who are having these war and combat related experiences, and then the stress related coping mechanisms to deal with them? These women also have physical problems, let me just say. This is one of the younger women says, my back is disgusting, it kills me. I can barely, like some days I can't even turn my head and neck to the left, and other days I can't even sleep because of pain. This is really unfortunate. This is a 23-year-old woman who says that before she went to Iraq and Afghanistan would run miles and miles a day, and was a very active, healthy young woman, and now she can barely get up every day. A couple of the women, though, were using the VA to seek help. I said, I think I have a problem. What do I do? And she, meaning the woman with the VA, gave me all the points of contacts and who to find and numbers and everything else. But all I did was go to the nearest hospital that was a VA, and they took care of it right from there and sent me to all the right places. So at least this woman knew where to go once she felt like she reached rock bottom. Another woman said, she, again, an enrollment person at the VA, helped me to flip the switch, as I say, on a lot of things that I thought were negative to positive. She even taught me how to put one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly when you can't sleep anymore. I don't even need Tylenol PM anymore. And for this woman, it was a huge thing that she didn't use Tylenol PM anymore. She had said that she had really relied, once she got back, she would be taking 3 or 4 Tylenol PM an evening just to get to sleep. Again, seeking help using the VA. I'm in a lot of pain. I don't know what to do, they said. Registers. They sat me down, nicest guy in the world. Guy sat me down, got all of my information, just asked me the questions, brought me to the treatment thing. Now, we did have a couple of women who talked about why they didn't like to go to the VA. At our particular VA in Connecticut, the Women's Health Clinic is actually located in the basement of this giant VA hospital. And I have to admit, it is very dark and kind of strange little passageways to get there. This woman was appalled by that. She said, I hate the fact that the clinic is in the basement because even coming across the VA campus, you get whistled at. But it's like, you know, I shouldn't have to put up with this. I shouldn't have to go to the basement to get medical care. It's dark. It feels dangerous. I don't like it. So again, this is a work in progress. We have, as I said, about three more focus groups to do, and it'll be interesting to see if the women that we're planning to interview are having some of the same experiences as the other women. But in conclusions from the early work so far, it definitely seems like women experience significant war-related reentry stress. Having a lot of problems with combat experiences, reintegrating with family and friends and employment. Women use a variety of coping mechanisms to cope with stress. Again, future work includes additional focus groups with women enrolled in VA and non-VA enrollees. And I just want to leave you with one additional quote. This woman said, and I really think it's important as women to share our experiences. I think we generally we learn a lot from each other in conversation and have great experience and knowledge to share. So I, for one, am more than willing and really would love to see there be more follow-up and more connection. And I just have to say, conducting these focus groups was amazing. These women, I could not get them to stop talking. It felt so good for them to be in a room together for the first time with a group of other women veterans to be saying, yeah, I experienced that. Did you experience that? And it was a self-help session. They were, telling each other, where to go to support, to use the VA center, where to go to exercise, what kinds of foods to eat. They just loved being together. And so I think that one of the most important things that's come out of this is we really need to continue to think about how to get women veterans together to share their experiences and to give them resources so they don't feel so alone in the community. Because to a person, all of these women said that nobody had bothered to reach out to them and that they felt that the men were getting all the attention, and they just they were really glad to be a part of these focus groups. So that's it. Thank you.
We'll hold the questions till